Hello, welcome to the English program. Audio Boo here. And this is, now, we are extremely delighted to announce, this is the first chapter from the story, A Ball at Pemberley. Now, keep in mind that we're going to do this sort of live, aren't we, Pilar? Yes, we are. It's not exactly a talking book. We're sort of going to do it live and then sort of see what comes out at the other end. But it's not exactly going to be as slick as a Radio 4 afternoon play. But we shall do our best, won't we, Pilar? Yes, indeed we will. So we are reading, and you can read along as well, if you so wish. We have the website, austinproject.com, and go to, it says, the story. A Ball at Pemberley. The whole of the story has been written in turns over Twitter, using the hashtag A4T. It is a truth universally acknowledged that no diversion on earth so delights young people as the prospect of a ball, and a ball at Pemberley, that fine and celebrated house in the beautiful county of Derbyshire, was a recreation devoutly to be wished. The Darcys were but lately married, and the ball was considered by the neighbourhood as the culmination of the wedding celebrations. Invitations were sent with dispatch, and many a young lady went to bed that night with her head full of happy cares. Many an older lady too, for the groom's mother-in-law was perfectly convinced the ball was given principally for her gratification. When the letter duly arrived, bearing the Pemberley seal, she turned to her husband in great excitement and said, "I do believe I have been blessed with the most agreeable of daughters." However, as she expressed such a felicitous declaration, she found herself suddenly overcome by an overwhelming anxiety which throttled her poor nerves to levels never before seen at Longbourn. The source of this inexhaustible discomfort, which afflicted Mrs. Bennet with greater force than any other due to the aforementioned condition, was the murky fate of her daughters Kitty and Mary. And to make matters worse, this threat to their happiness, and by that, she contemplated only their ability to live well and be doted on by men of fortunate means, manifested from the Dashwoods staying under her very own roof. Without bothering to glance up from the book that he was reading, Mr. Bennet muttered, "How delightful! Kitty and Mary will surely be pleased, as will the Mrs. Dashwood, I expect. Marianne was just talking of balls the other day." At the sound of her name, coupled with that ever-desired word, Marianne rushed into the room, her face flushed with excitement. "Mr. Bennet," she cried, glee suffusing her voice, animating her countenance, "you cannot imagine. I have only now discovered that Mr. Henry Tilney is to attend the ball. He was, as you may have heard, the subject of some speculation as to the demise of his mamma." Mary and Kitty gasped at this revelation. Marianne was quick to disabuse them. "Oh no, it was a certain young lady of his acquaintance that informed me of this." One by one, the expressions kept pouring, like an intense surge from Marianne to Mr. Bennet, of all invited. How one person can have much lavish talk, Mary thought, listening to her. Does she have a surreptitious life that tolerates such an extensive speech? Pray, are there any words left in our language she has not spoken as of yet? Mary whispered to Kitty. Does she not desire to breathe? This is the English program. We are reading here the first bit of this story. This is chapter one that we're reading at the moment. A Ball at Pemberley. We shall continue in the next Audio Boo. Thanks for listening.